Here in church this morning to honor God, to worship God. Wednesday night, we discussed Moses, and the Spirit of God was strong. The anointing of the Holy Ghost was powerful as he moved through the audience. Today, I'm going to be talking about Moses. Wednesday night, we went in the Old Testament to Exodus chapter 3, particular. Today, we're going in Hebrews chapter 11, 23 and 27, through 27. And I want to be talking about the man who chose God. He chose God. Verse number 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. What they saw gave them the strength to do in the face of the king what they knew was right. Amen. By faith, Moses, when it was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction, somebody say choosing, with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The man who chose God. Would you pray with me? Father, we just pray as we read your holy word to the people that you would give us insight, understanding, that we can convey the mind and the wisdom of the Lord to our congregation, that most of all you would be glorified in everything that is done and said through this service. We just were touched by the songs and the moving of the Holy Ghost. And we pray now that you would solidify things by confirming the word with your power and with your spirit. We pray that you would save someone, anyone, all that are unsaved. We pray that people would pursue the baptism in the Holy Ghost, pursue a sanctified lifestyle. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible offers more material on Moses than any other individual character. The Bible takes us from his birth through his life and unto his burial that was done by God. He had a death sentence hanging over his head when he was born. All the male children, babies, were to be slain because they were in Egypt and they were multiplying so fast that the Pharaoh said they might outnumber us. Moses was born, but it was the beginning of a prophetic process. God is never caught by surprise. He's always ahead of whatever needs to be done. He visited Moses' dad and mom with a divine visitation. Moses was born, and when he was born, his mother saw that he was a goodly child. He was a wonderful, precious baby boy. She did what she could for 3 months of his life, the first 3 months of his life. She hid him, pampered him, protected him. But there come that moment in time when he could be hid no more. Something had to give. Now, she's got a fighting spirit in her. She could have just thrown in the towel and said, well, I've done all I could do, and he'll end up being killed. But there's not that kind of spirit in her. So she went to work, and she built a basket. They called it an ark. And she pitched it within and without. She made it as carefully as she could because she knew the cargo that was going to be in that little piece of vessel. When she did everything she could, she laid Moses, and his name wasn't Moses at that time. He had no biblical name. She laid that baby boy in that basket, went down to the Nile River, and committed that basket into the waters. Waters in the scripture stand for people and population. Somebody deposited you at some point, 3 months old, 2 months old, whatever, into the waters of life. You were there. Maybe they can only see you so close. They don't see you when you're dodging around the corner getting that marijuana. They don't see you when you're doing illegitimate things because you got it covered. But God is on your trail. And God reaches down and calls you out. Am I talking to you? Calls you out. You don't understand what's going on. There's chemistry, there's dealings, emotions going on in your life that you cannot analyze, that you can't explain. But you know that things that you've been addicted to and hooked to and involved in no longer have the intrigue that they used to have. Am I talking to anybody? And so Moses committed this basket to the water and the baby to God, and Moses went. His mother went back home. But she left Miriam, his sister, her daughter, to the edge of the riverbank to monitor things. Pharaoh's daughter comes to the river to do her bathing. And she's got all the riverbank she could choose from at her choice. But she sees one location. She said, I think that's where I'll go today. And she notices a Hebrew girl up there, and it's Moses' sister. And the Pharaoh's daughter begins to take care of her duties and all. And there's a basket in those reeds. And the basket has got a baby in it. And it's not unusual, perhaps, maybe, but something in that baby caused that baby to cry. And I said Wednesday night, mothers, you can handle a lot of things, but a tear in a baby's eye will get you. And Pharaoh's daughter said, what is this? And she drew the baby. This is where Moses comes. Moses means drawn out. She drew the baby out of the water. She looked at the baby. She don't know anything about the finaglings. And she says, this is a Hebrew child. And Moses' sister stood up and said, would you like for me to get a nurse for her? Yes, that would be a great idea. Moses' sister goes home and she says to her mother, I just got you a job. You're employed now. Well, what is my job? Being a nurse to that baby that you left in the reeds. And not only are you going to be a nurse to it, you're going to be paid good wages. God is good, isn't he? And so they drew Moses out and carried him to Pharaoh's house. And he grew up trained and skilled in the ways of the Egyptians. He grew up doing the customs of the Egyptians. Let me tell you something this morning. If you're not careful, that's what we are. That's where we are. We're in the midst of the Egyptians. The Egyptians are, I'm not talking about the country in Egypt now. I'm talking about the symbolism. The Egyptians are a part of what we call the world. And you are loosed in this world. And if you're not careful, you will lose your identification. After a while, Moses, people begin to wonder, is he an Egyptian or is he a Hebrew, whatever. He was trained, he was skilled, he was schooled. But there come that point when Moses, as a young man, said, I cannot hide my identity anymore. He chose. There was something in him said, I can't sneak around anymore. I can't do what Hebrews do on Monday and what Egyptians do on Tuesday. I've got to let my flag fly high. At some point, the devil is going to try to rob you of your identification. If you're a child of God, you are a believer. Am I helping them? If you're a child of God, you're a Christian, and you cannot afford to lose your identification. You cannot afford to lose your the procedure of what you believe in. And Moses stood still and glorified God Almighty. Can I get a witness out there? So a lot of miracles had to take place. And Moses comes out as a young man, 40 years old approximately at that time, and he sees a Hebrew and an Egyptian fighting. And Moses steps up to the plate and he slays the Egyptian. He looks this way, he looks that way, but he didn't look that way. And he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. And the next day he comes out and two Hebrews are scuffling with each other. And Moses says, you're not to be doing like that. And one of them said, are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses knew that his identification was had. And so he had to flee. But he made a choice. He made a choice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, I can go ahead and try to disguise myself, but I'm not going to do that anymore. He chose. Hello? He chose. Let me try to go hasten to particular. There's some people here today that I believe need to hear this. Moses made a choice, and that choice was to serve God. He made a choice that no matter what happened, he was going to go with God. Am I talking to you? And so therefore he did that. He left Egypt. Amen. And so it blesses my heart. Hardship is what motivated that choice. Hardship is what brought it to pass. Let me tell you something right now. Hear me carefully. I'm here. You're here as a child of God. You're here as a human being because God chose you. Hello? Don't lose sight of that. You didn't just bumble in the church this morning. You didn't just pull in the parking lot. God, in his infinite wisdom, chose you. Amen? It's an amazing thing when you realize there's a population of 50-some thousand people in Beaufort County, and about 10,000 of them are going to church. And out of that 10,000, some of them are chosen. All of them, or am I talking to you? Chosen by God. But now here's the crux of it. Here's the crux of it. I was chosen. You were chosen. I was chosen out of the mass of humanity to become a son of God. I'm not talking about predestination. I'm talking about you were chosen. You were here because God dealt with you. But now, listen, being chosen is one thing, but now the ball is in your court. Now the muck is on your back. Now the pressure's against you. Who are you going to choose? Hello? God chose you. But now a lot of people in hell today, not because God didn't choose them, but they didn't choose God. You don't just wake up one day and say, well, I'm going to get saved today. God chooses you, deals with you, convicts you, gets you brought under the burden of sin. And somewhere or other at home in the church or somewhere, you bow your heart to him and say, I am sorry for my sin. I choose Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah to God. And the great problem in our society is people are choosing not to choose God. Hell is populated with people today who were chosen by God, but they didn't choose God. Am I making sense to you? They didn't choose God. Choose you this day is what the scripture said. Do you hear what I'm talking about? I mean, it goes back all the way back in the book of Exodus, all the way back in the book of Genesis. There's a tendency in people to move away from God rather than move to God, to flee from God rather than running to him. He is a refuge. I mean, do you understand in Exodus chapter 32, this Moses that we're talking about right now, this Moses, he's in the wilderness with the Hebrew people, with 2 to 3 million people, and they have committed all kinds of ungodly mess and done ungodly things, and Moses comes down from the mountaintop, he's been in the presence of God, and he looks at the golden calf dancing around, they're having a mess of a time. And Moses gets so provoked with them, he took the tabernacle, moved it outside of the camp, and disfellowshipped the whole nation. He got the tabernacle set up over there, and he looked at the crowd, and he said, now who among you will choose the Lord? He had to make a choice. Am I talking to you? I'm saying to you this morning in this auditorium, who among us will choose God? Anybody here glad that you chose God? Anybody here glad that you chose? I talk of Shatalabaka. And Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Who will you choose? And the Levites, as a man, they stepped over. They said, you can count on me. The rest of them didn't. But you go on to the further in the Bible, and you'll find there's Elijah in 2 Kings, in the 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah's up on Mount Carmel, and there's a nation before him that they know right. Do you understand what I'm saying? They knew right from wrong, but they were just committing adultery. They were just pagans and whatever. And Elijah said, we're going to have a challenge here. We're going to have a contest here. We're going to offer a sacrifice on the altar, and the one that fire falls on, that will be God. And they agreed. And Elijah said, how long Do you halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. Don't mess around with tiptoeing and putting your toes in the water. What's wrong with going ahead and getting in the stream? What's the matter? Miserable people just put their ankles in the water. Miserable people just try to tread. What's the matter with just throwing yourself on the mercy of God and say, living I live and dying I die, but I'm serving God Almighty. Am I talking to you? Hallelujah. We got this. I was talking to Brother Craig this morning. There's an ad. I see it on television. I don't really know what it is. It's a presentation. Lasts about 30 seconds. And this they show the picture of this man in the pulpit. Looks mean as a rattlesnake. He's sending people to hell. I mean, really, first class. And then they show anybody seen that? So if I misrepresent it, you don't know it, do you? But this next scene they show on this thing is this young girl, 20 years old or something, and she's obviously not a church person. I'm not judging, I'm just looking at the presentation. And she says, I wished I could find a church that would take me as I am. Y'all didn't get that. That's the whole thing about it. They want to find a church that would take them as they are. Do you hear what I'm saying? I wished I could find a church that would understand me and not try to condemn me. I'm not condemning you, honey. It's the Holy Ghost condemning you. It's God saying, if you're going to come into the kingdom of God, you cannot come. You can come as you are, but you can't stay as you are. Amen? You got to make a change. Everything about this Bible demands change. Change the way you walk, change the way you talk, change where you're going, change how you're acting. It all involves in change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things, the old habits, the old ways, the old language, all that mess is done away with. You hate the things you used to love and you love the things you used to hate. You've been radically changed by the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And Elijah said, how long do you halt? We've got some halting people around our community. They halt. I want to get saved, but I don't know. I need to get saved, but I'm halting. Get off the fence, honey. I'm not being mean. I'm telling you right now, misery lies in the person that's on the fence. Misery lies in the person that's trying to live in both worlds. You can't do it. Why don't you go ahead and raise your flag up high and say, I don't know about nobody else, but I'm going to let the world know if they're interested. I'm going to let them know that I'm a child of God. Listen to me. There's nothing embarrassing about being a Christian. When you say that I'm a Christian, you're telling your people, your neighborhood, I don't smoke anymore. I don't drink anymore. I don't carouse anymore. I don't cheat anymore. I don't lie anymore. A Christian is the best person in the community. Amen. If you need to hire somebody, hire a Christian. You can leave your shop unlocked. Amen. You can leave the cash drawer open. Hello? A Christian has got a reputation. They serve God. Hallelujah. And Elijah said, how long will you halt? If God be God, let him be God. And that settled it. Oh, am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. And we need to get these things in our mind. It's just a motivational thing. We need to get how long, So listen, we get back to Moses, and Moses' problems come. He flees. He goes down into Midian, and he spends 40 years. 40 years, it's not wasted time. It's 40 years of profitability. He's learned the ways of Egypt while he was 40 years in the palace. Now he's 40 years in the wilderness deprogramming. See, when you get saved, you've been programmed by the world. You've been programmed to do things that the world do. You know, they don't see anything wrong with a lot of stuff. So when you get saved, you've been programmed in that. And something inside of you wells up and says, you can't do that anymore. You don't act like that anymore. You don't use profanity. Amen? It's not a preacher preaching. It's a Holy Ghost convicting. I'm serious about this thing. There used to be a, I don't mean Pentecostal church. I'm talking about church. I'm talking about church. Real, genuine, bona fide churches used to have a standard. They used to have a code of conduct, so to speak. You don't do the, you know, somebody mentioned about, you know, they left the toddy for the body. That's why they didn't come to Alligood. I said, I don't need a toddy for my body. You know, I got all the toddies I need. I don't have to resist it. I don't have to reject it. I don't have to do it. I just, when I got saved, the want to was eradicated. Hello? But now we throw our doors wide open and we plead with people come. We just want people to come. Come on. I want people to come, but I want them to come under the guidance of the Spirit of God. I want people to be born again. I want people to be changed. I want people to go, hallelujah. I want people to walk down the street and somebody say, that person right there is a Christian. Amen. Or that person I believe is born again. Why do you think they're born again? Because they don't act like the other people do. Hello, church. Am I talking to anybody? So we find out, you know, Moses goes down and he meets that burning bush and he has an encounter with God. And that encounter with God, and that's where I'm trying to tell you. Listen, my young friend, listen, mothers and fathers. If you have an encounter with God, you're not going to be turning loose and wishy-washy. Am I talking to you? You're not going to be flip-flopping. You're not going to be in it. If you meet God, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how you do it. I don't know what episode in your life. But every one of us that are sincere, we're going to bump into God one day. Unseen, unexplicable, indescribable. But you're going to have an occasion in your life. It might be a dream, it might be a vision, it might be something, but something is going to take place in your life that's going to solidify your experience with God. Amen? I know I'm telling you, and Moses had that experience at the burning bush. How can you lead 3 million people out of Egypt? How can you put up with the gripers and the complainers? How can you put up, I know none of y'all hear that, but how can you put up with all the stuff, all the childish stuff? And Moses said, I had an encounter with God. I met God in a burning bush, and therefore I can handle whatever comes my way because God is true and God is, am I talking to you? Hallelujah to God. See, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not a theory. It's not a theology thing. It's not a, well, let's put it down on paper and explain it in perpetuation, reconciliation, and all this kind of stuff. No, sirree, you run into God one day. Paul had an encounter with God in the ninth chapter of Acts on the road to Damascus. He's thinking about the papers in his pocket. He's going to arrest people in Damascus. He's going to bring them in for apprehension, and he's going to try, hopefully, to get them killed. But he ran into God. Here's what God looked like. Here's what God looked like when Paul, it was a bright light. A bright light threw him down off the horse. Into the dirt. God will take you from your high horse into your dirt. Amen? And Paul laid there, and the first thing, he's not marveling about, what's going on here? He's not all rattled about it. The first thing he knows, something bigger than anything I've ever run into. Something larger than I could describe. Put me in this dirt. Who art thou, Lord? Amen? Did he say it? And the answer come back unseen. I am Jesus. Paul, you're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be mistreated, maltreated. You're going to be abused and used and ridiculed and lied upon. But don't ever forget this day in this dirt. Don't ever forget you met God. And Paul rises up and gives that testimony. He goes to Rome. He goes to Thessalonica. He goes on, and he doesn't talk. He can talk theology. He was a theologian. He was a scholar, but he doesn't talk. He said, "Well, let me just tell you what happened to me. I was on." He told it. People get tired of hearing your testimony if you're not careful, but don't get tired of giving it, because it builds you up. Paul said, "I was on my way to Damascus about noon, and a light shined from heaven." and threw me in the dirt. The people that were with me, they saw part of it, but they didn't understand part of it. Paul, how can you go on being mistreated like you? I remember my encounter with God. Amen. Does anybody here ever remember? I don't know how you, what, I don't, it may have been in an altar of prayer. It may have been whatever. But you, there was something happened in your life that you knew distinctly had to come from God. Anybody? Amen. And see, if you're going to be launched out on this road of faith, you're going to have to be tested. You're going to have to be probed. I'm talking about the man who chose God. Moses chose, God chose Moses, but now Moses chooses God. You're here because God chose you. But my question to you is, will you choose God? Will you embrace God? Will you put God for? When I choose God, I choose to do what God wants me to do. When I choose God, I want to obey Him. I want to live the way that I'm supposed to live. When I choose God, I choose truth over deception. I choose light over darkness. Amen. So Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, that's the first thing you got to do. You got to realize that you cannot run with the rabbits and hunt with the hounds. You just got to make up your mind. I am God's and I belong to God uniquely. Amen. Somebody praise Him. Can I get a witness out there from anybody? That's right. To choose God, get it in your mind. We are chosen people. I don't mean predestinated that you're going to go to heaven in spite of yourself. God has chosen to bring a people out of the population of the world. But my Lord, suppose those people say, I'll have not any part of do. Judas was chosen. Hello? Judas was chosen, but he failed to choose God. Demas was chosen. Three places in the Bible, Demas is mentioned. And the first place, his name is first in Colossians. The second place, his name is faded back to second rank. In the third place, his name is mentioned. He's in third place. There's a deterioration. I remember, all of us, you remember when you started. Do you? You were right up there with the ranks of those who were shouting. You were shouting. Oh, glory to God. You felt, but something happens if we're not careful. We will lose our identification. Don't ever let it be, there's the person that used to shout. Or there's the person that used to give out messages. Or there's the person that used to go whatever. Let it be always present. That's the person who I've followed, I've watched all of my life. Amen. Moses chose to suffer the affliction. Now listen to me. God's people are going to endure afflictions. I don't mean beating necessarily. I don't mean like in third world countries. When you live for God, your life is going to draw reproof, rebuke, sarcasm. They're going to call you holy rollers. They're going to call you everything they can think about. It's not afflicting your body that bothers you. You can handle the affliction on your physical being. But when the affliction comes to name calling, to identification, there's a weird people that go to the Holiness Church. That bothers our pride. That wounds us. And it grieves our heart. But listen, he chose to suffer the affliction of God's people rather than the pleasures. Look, he gave up. You and I, we have never been, ever been in a place where I look down the road. And you've not either. Never been in the place where I'm standing here looking down the road and I know that what's ahead is mine. I know that one day I'll be the Pharaoh. I know that one day the treasures of Egypt will belong to me. I know, we've never done that. It's lofty talk for us standing and saying, you know, I gave up everything. You gave up a $20 a week job or whatever it was. I gave up everything to serve Jesus Christ and all that. No, this man, it was reality. He walked away from what he could have had. Hello? He could have had it. But something inside of him says, I must make a choice. And he chose to suffer the affliction of God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, they mentioned yesterday in the prayer conference, one of the speakers, I don't remember who it was, said there was a time when they shut the businesses down on Sunday. They didn't open them. That's the terminology used. They didn't open the businesses on Sunday morning. They didn't commerce on Sunday morning. They didn't do any of the shenanigans. They did it later on in the day or didn't do it at all. But in order to accommodate the people, see, that accommodation has always been the ruin. And Moses said, I'm not worrying about accommodating, I'm not worrying about anything. I will choose God's people. Amen. Now listen, I'm trying to bring this. If you don't understand when you look at it now through the natural eye, you don't understand how it's going to happen and all that. But look, Moses chose and he went on a trek for God and he ended up, I don't know the Pharaoh's names. I don't know anything about the Pharaoh's background. It's all faded in the history. But we know all over this world people are reading about Moses. People are studying Moses. People are saying, I'd like to be like Moses. He suffered the reproach of the people of Egypt rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen? You don't know what you give up right now. You don't know the turning your back on sin right now, turning your back on the world and embracing God Almighty. You don't know it might bring whatever. But if you hold on to God, the end result is going to be positive. The end result is going to be real. It's going to be profitable. It's going to be worth it all. They shall be mine, Malachi said, in that day when I make up my jewels. Amen. Moses chose. He chose. He made a choice, a deliberate, calculated choice. I will go with God's people. I will go with God's people. One day, you made a choice. One day, you heard this, that Sister Sandra testified the other day about different people that she knew. You heard them. You heard different conversations. But then there come that day when I'm not going to buck it anymore. I'm going to make my choice. And the screaming voice of the devil says to people that are in that predicament, you can't live it. No, you can't live it. Hello? How many know that's true? You can't live it. But it's Christ in you. I'm not trying to present something awkward and outrageous. What you can't do, he can do. All he asks is give him a vessel that he can live through. He wants to live through and show his characteristics to, show his nature to. So Moses made the choice. 120 years old, everything he ever wanted, he had. Except one thing. He wanted to go into the promised land. And God said, you're not going to do it. You didn't sanctify me in front of the eyes of the people. You struck the rock rather than speak to the rock. And you can't go. You're prohibited from going. He takes Moses up to the high point of Mount Pisgah and shows him Canaan. Shows him what's going to be the temple site. Just gives him a panoramic view. And then God buries Moses. God is the preacher, the pallbearer, everything. Nobody knows where Moses' body is because they can't have any shrines to Moses. God says no. You say, well, Moses died disappointed. He didn't make it to the promised land. Go to the New Testament. And there's a place called the Mount of Transfiguration. And there's this particular day when Moses is up there and Elijah's up there and Jesus is up there and Peter and James and John are up there. So Moses made it. And he's talking to Jesus about the decease at Jerusalem. Listen, if you'll make your choice today, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. So here's what somebody needs to remake their choice. That's why I wanted to hold to God's unchanging hand. So, there are people here today, 1, 2, 10, I don't know, that just need to take a firmer grip. Just need to take a tighter resolve that I'm going to serve God. So would you stand and the musicians are going to come? Have you understood what I've tried to speak to you about today?